Good morning. This is Chair Peter Fisher. Pursuant to House Rule 10.01, I call this remote meeting of the Behavioral Health Policy Division to order. The clerk will take the roll for attendance.
Good morning, everyone. Frederick.
Present.
Frankie.
Frankie, present.
Backer, excused. Baker. Becker Finn.
Becker Finn, present.
Hansen. Hansen. Katiza Watoon.
Present.
Lippert.
Lippert, present.
Moeller.
Present.
Pearson. Pearson. Thompson.
Pearson, present.
Thompson. Baker. Hansen. Thompson. Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Quorum being established, our first item on the agenda is approval of minutes from last Wednesday, March 10th. Are there any questions or corrections to the minutes? If not, Representative Frankie, would you like to move approval of the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the approval of the minutes.
Super. Representative Frankie moves approval of the minutes from March 10th, 2021. Please unmute for a voice vote. All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes will be approved. Members, this will most likely be our last hearing of this session, and we will have three bills on the agenda today. Our first bill on for the day is House File 2011. Representative Katiza Watoon, would you like to move your bill and tell us about it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, members, I would move House File 2011 to be before the committee today. And I believe we are looking to move it on to the Health or the Human Services Committee. Thank you.
Right. Yes, Representative Katiza Watoon moves that the House File 2011 be recommended for referral to the Human Services Finance and Policy Committee. Representative Katoon, go ahead and present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just a little bit of background on House File 2011. For many children and youth, there are options to access community-based mental health services, especially school-linked mental health services that can meet their needs. But some youth will require more intensive mental health services. Unfortunately, there's really very few resources for the youth and their families to access intensive mental health services in their communities. Last session, the legislature did pass some policy changes to the Youth Act program, but there is still work that needs to be done. So House File 2011 focuses on one successful program to provide these supports in the community. Intensive non-residential rehabilitative mental health services, or Youth Act, provides a multidisciplinary and team-based approach that is modeled off of the assertive community treatment, or ACT, teams for the adult population. While eligibility criteria are different for Youth Act, both provide intensive supports in the community for children and youth with serious mental illnesses. The Youth Act team coordinates treatment for mental illness, school and employment, housing, family engagement, and physical health services. Currently, Guild Incorporated and Northern Pines Mental Health Center offer Youth Act services. While we still have more work to be done to improve and sustain the Youth Act program, House File 2011 gets things started by letting younger children and older youth be eligible for Youth Act services. This will increase much needed access for intensive mental health services for these children while allowing older youth to remain on Youth Act if the service is still beneficial to them and that they are not yet eligible for the Adult Act team. So this bill expands eligibility for Youth Act services to children as young as 8 and as old as 25. One Youth Act team can treat children between the ages of 8 and 16, or 14 and 25. The teams must have specialized training in place for the age ranges that they serve. And then in section 4, we do have a technical fix to stipulate the training team must complete an individual treatment plan for each client. With that, Mr. Chair, I would like to move on to my testifiers to share their testimony.
Super, thank you. We'll move on to the first testifier, Ms. Addison Moore. If you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us who you're with.
I'm Addison Moore. I am with NAMI Minnesota and am actually a volunteer for them, as well as I am a former client of Guild EQ's Youth Act team. Dear representatives, I am speaking to you guys today to share my story and express my support for expanding Youth Act team services to those 8 to 25 years old. By authorizing this expansion, you have the ability to save lives, lives that are real people that will make real change in this world. I started on the EQ Youth Act team in February of 2014. I was their second client and honestly, at times, probably one of their most difficult. There was one time that I was in the middle of a family therapy session with the ACT team therapist where I had already been suicidal and I decided that I was finished. I decided to run away barefoot in an attempt to end my life. The ACT team still continued to stick with me and didn't discharge me as all previous programs had or would have. They were a lifeline when I had no one else, and not just for me, but for my entire family. They held on to the hope for my future that I didn't have and I wasn't sure that I ever would have. Prior to the EQ Youth Act team, my mom was told that I was a lost cause. I would never have a job, never go to college, never live on my own, never drive a car, never contribute to society in any meaningful way. She was essentially told that I would be a burden to this world. It is because of the faith the EQ that EQ had in me that I learned that I could prove each and every one of those providers, police officers, paramedics, and educational professionals wrong. I do live in my own apartment with my dogs, Aggie and Charlie. I got my driver's license in July of last year and have already driven over 40,000 miles. I really like to take road trips. I have spoken to high schools, colleges, police departments, and other organizations throughout Minnesota and the nation with NAMI's public education programs, sharing my story, and I now sit on the Minnesota Subcommittee for Children's Mental Health. I would say that I am far from a burden to this society, and I have a lot to offer this world. Expanding access to Youth Act team program would allow others like myself who have been deemed lost causes not just survive, but to thrive, to do great things in this world. This expansion could make it so that people who need more support than can be offered through other services have the ability to avoid residential treatment and more restrictive environments and to continue to live their lives in the community where everyone deserves to belong. Mental illnesses can start before the age of 16. In fact, for my older sister, her first psychiatric admission was at 9 years old. I have another sister whose first admission was at 7. Maybe had my older sister had access to Youth Act services, she would still be here today, but instead she ended her life to suicide at 18 years old. I remember during my time on the EQ team, my 21st birthday came up in discussion often. It was a day that I dreaded as I didn't know if I would be better by then. I didn't know what I would do after my 21st birthday if I still needed that level of support, as I have dissociative identity disorder, not a psychotic disorder. I didn't know if I would have enough support after my 21st birthday to keep myself alive. Had I known that I had 4 more years of time on the EQ team, I would have had a lot less sleepless nights and endless worries about if I had enough skills to keep myself alive. I'm lucky that I did have those skills and I'm doing so well now, but both personally and professionally, but things could have been really different. I strongly urge you to approve this expansion of services for the Youth Act team to those 8 to 25, as you have the ability to save not just lives, but also futures. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Moore, for sharing your story, and thank you, and I'm glad to hear about the great success that you're having and the great work that you're doing now. Thank you for all you're doing and contributing to us. Next we have on our agenda is Mr. Brian Godfrey. If you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us who you're with and start your testimony, please.
Chairman Fisher, members, good morning. I'm Dr. Brian Godfrey, in support of 2011. I work with the Guild Services youth team. I'm an adult and child psychiatrist who's practiced community mental health in the Twin Cities for 40 years. I've been especially interested in transition age youth for the last 15 years, as I felt this is where one gets the most bang for the buck. Many other states and countries have also been focusing attention on the early presentation of psychosis. For the last 7 years, I've been the psychiatrist for one of the two remaining DHS-sponsored Youth Assertive Community Treatment Teams, or ACT teams, the Guild Services Youth Team. For those of you unfamiliar with ACT, It is an evidence-based model that has been used since the late 70s that has proven to reduce hospital costs and help individuals recover in the community. The term assertive reflects the fact that many individuals with serious mental illness do not seek out care and must be engaged assertively. There were initially four youth ACT teams. There are now two in Minnesota. The Guild Services Youth Team provides services for 16 to 20-year-old youth. While I have seen significant benefit provided by the service, and research sponsored by Guild supports this, I feel we could be much more helpful if we were able to extend our services for young people into their early 20s. I would briefly make two arguments to support this. The first is based on human brain development. We now recognize human brains are not fully developed until approximately age 25. We know that the so-called synaptic pruning that occurs into our mid-20s parallels the critical age of vulnerability for adult mental illness and may be linked to the development of those illnesses. What that means for us taking on these youth is we're not seeing the full manifestation of illness and possibly not able to fulfill the vital mission of early intervention with those illnesses. Substance abuse also is a big factor in clouding the picture. We need more time to accurately diagnose and help these young people deal with their evolving brain abnormalities. My second argument has to do with my experience with a high level of need of our referrals. ACT is generally limited to those who have state or county funding. This has meant that our referrals are coming from low income, highly stressed, and frequently dysfunctional families. In other cases, it has meant that the children have had long-term disabilities predating their more acute psychotic disorders, such as, for example, autism evolving into schizophrenia. It is also common for us to get referrals of adolescents who youth residential treatment programs reject as too psychotic or too violent. The residential programs available for young people are less prepared for these illnesses than we are. I have worked with three adult ACT teams. I straddle both worlds. Quite simply, these young people have much higher and more complex needs and are also less trusting of adults. When they turn 21, we are now forced to transition them to other adult intensive services where they must again develop relationships when they're just starting to trust and make gains with us. I hope this will be helpful in your decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Godfrey, for your testimony. Are there any questions for testifiers or for our author? Representative Frankie.
Thank you, Chair Fisher. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill forward. I want to thank the testifiers. One of my questions was kind of answered about why are we going so late in the age range on this, you know, understanding the brain development is 25. And I don't know if Representative Katiza-Watoon could answer this or maybe the testifier. What happens at that point, you know, as we've discussed throughout this committee, the transition points and doctor alluded to it a little bit. What happens at that transition point is my concern, because we're extending this so we don't cut off that trust level at age of 20 and allow them to continue. How do we still continue to keep that going once this bill still happens to end at 25?
Representative Katiza-Watoon or to one of your testifiers, Mr. Godfrey, who would like
Thank
to...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'll let Mr. Godfrey address that.
Okay. Mr. Godfrey, if you'd like to go ahead, please.
Thank you. You know, that's a good question. The stopping point is somewhat arbitrary. I would point out that we have somewhere approaching 30 adult ACT teams in the state. Many of our young people would qualify for those. In other situations, they may go into targeted case management. They may go into a residential program, adult foster care. But it's still clearly going to be important to make a warm handoff. With our youth, we try to have a three-month transition period where we overlap with other services. But absolutely, that will still be critical.
Thank you, sir. Representative Franke, further questions?
No, oh, thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right.
Mr. Chair, I think Ms. Aberholden may have wanted to provide an answer as well.
Oh, certainly. Ms. Aberholden, would you like to testify? And if so, identify yourself and who you're with, and you can start your testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Sue Aberholden, Executive Director of NAMI Minnesota. I just wanted to add to Representative Franke's question, and that is that, frankly, we do a terrible job of transitioning children with serious mental illnesses to the adult system. We don't have the same criteria. Things don't line up the same at all, which is partly why we wanted to, at least in this particular program, make sure that we can extend it for these particular young people. But we have a lot more work to do in that area so that, frankly, young people just don't kind of fall off and not qualify for services anymore.
Thank you, Ms. Aberholden. And I'm checking for, I'll give another moment here, see if any other questions come up. Not seeing any further questions, I'll turn it over to Representative Tiso Watun for final comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you to my testifiers today for sharing their stories and their experience. I think that expanding the age of access for this program is going to do a lot of good. Particularly in saving lives and saving futures, as Ms. Moore had mentioned. And I think that it's really important that our children and our youth know that we're not going to give up on them. And this is one of the ways that they can get the help that they need and just kind of extend it until they are in a place that they feel more able to handle their challenges themselves. I appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Katiza Watun. With that, Representative Katiza Watun renews her motion that House File 2011 be recommended for referral to the Human Services Finance and Policy Committee. Mr. Kroos, please take the roll.
Fisher.
Fisher, aye.
Fisher, aye. Frederick.
Aye.
Frederick, aye. Franke.
Franke, aye.
Franke, aye. Baker.
Baker, aye.
Baker, aye. Becker Finn.
Becker Finn, aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Hansen.
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Katiza Watun.
Aye.
Katiza Watun, aye. Lippert.
Lippert, aye.
Lippert, aye. Moeller.
Aye.
Moeller, aye. Pearson.
Pearson, aye.
Pearson, aye. Thompson.
Thompson, aye.
Thompson, aye. Mr. Chair, there are 11 ayes and 0 nays.
Thank you. There being 11 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails. House File 2011 is recommended for referral to the Human Services Finance and Policy Committee. Thank you, Representative Katiza Watu. Next on the agenda is House File 2116. Representative Frederick, would you like to move your bill and tell us about it?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move 2116. Be referred to the Human Services Finance and Policy Committee. I also have an amendment for the bill.
Why don't you go with your A1 amendment, Representative Frederick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A1 amendment before the committee. It is a technical update feedback that I was received from DHS, and I would invite DHS to make any comments on that.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves A1 author's amendment to put the bill in the shape you would like it for the bill's first committee hearing. Any questions? Seeing no questions, this is going to be a voice vote. If you could unmute yourselves, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Frederick, please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. One of the things that we've heard in this committee over and over again is the need for mental health services and that we need more providers and we need more. But one of the things that we can do in addition to adding more people into the workforce is give our current providers more time, more face-to-face time with the people that they are serving. One of the ways that we can do this is increase efficiencies and reduce the amount of paperwork that they have to do. The more time that they can have working with people, the more people that they are able to serve. And so that's what this bill does in a nutshell. And I would turn it over to my testifiers at this point. You're muted, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Frederick. We'll go to the first testifier, Mr. John Magnuson. If you could introduce yourself, who you're with, and start your testimony, please.
Thank you, Chair Fisher and members of the committee. My name is John Magnuson. I'm the Executive Director of MARCH, the Minnesota Association of Resources for Recovery and Chemical Health. MARCH is a professional association of addiction and treatment professionals and organizations striving to raise awareness about addiction and the power of recovery. We represent more than 75 agencies and a workforce of more than 5,000 individuals with members in every region of Minnesota. The goal of MARCH is to improve access to quality behavioral health services for all Minnesotans who need support and share the value of long-term recovery to the individual, family, and communities we live in. Our three overriding public policy goals this biennium are increasing access, strengthening the workforce, and creating sustainability. Representatives Frederick's paperwork reduction supports all three. In a moment, I'll invite my colleague and longtime MARCH Board of Governor, Dr. Lance Eggly, to share the history of this initiative and describe in greater detail how this bill complements the work already underway with DHS on unified service standards. MARCH is proud of our collaborative process of problem solving we've established and tries to work with all stakeholders we share responsibility with on the behavioral health continuum. This same spirit was brought to our work with DHS on paperwork reduction. In fact, we see paperwork reduction as essential in helping us weave together and make seamless the important work already underway on unified service standards. While we have valued and appreciated the professional work of the internal DHS staff, sometimes an outside perspective can identify blind spots and challenges that, when identified and addressed, strengthen a system and allow greater integration of the parts, making a more seamless and effective process improvement. We've got great confidence in the NIATX model of process improvement, which we feel would bring great value to our collaborative work with DHS. MARCH again appreciates the leadership and work of Representative Frederick on HF 2116, and thanks the chair for the time. And if okay with the chair, I'd invite my colleague, Dr. Lance Eggly, to unmute and share now.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Magnuson. Dr. Lance Eggly, if you'd like to go ahead, introduce yourself and start your testimony, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman Fisher and members of the committee. My name is Lance Eggly. I'm testifying for MARCH. I have provided direct service for substance use disorder clients, trained other providers, and developed systems over the last 25 years. I have two licenses, a PhD, and I completed at University of California, Berkeley, a postdoc in the organization and financing of mental health services. I want to thank Representative Frederick for his straightforward introduction of the purpose of this bill. House File 2116 formalizes a collaborative relationship between the Department of Human Services and substance use disorder providers to reduce paperwork, improve systems, and make regulation more consistent. We plan to update piecemeal requirements and forms that have accumulated over many, many years and decades, resulting in sometimes in unnecessary, duplicative, confusing, or impractical rules. The department's March 2020 report to the legislature recommends this work. Our exhibits show something of the process and possible results. John referred to NIATX. Compare the marked difference between mental health and substance use disorder regulation. Show support from the Mental Health Legislative Network Blue Book and provide a copy of the DHS report. After several years of long effort centered around getting adequate resources to do this work and getting everybody on the same page, this past September, DHS began voluntary collaboration with MARCH toward this end. Since September, we've had a very slow but consistent, steady increase in committing time and energy. This increased commitment was obtained partly by combining the uniform service standard process that the department has been looking at for many years and already completed with mental health. With the paperwork reduction goal. Um, Although the new voluntary effort is very promising, it has not been able to meet nearly as often as intended initially, and the achievements so far speak largely to capacity building and not yet to the substantive changes needed. To improve capacity further, House File 2116 includes two capacity building elements. First, it names three specific participants that are not under the direct control of DHS Community Service Division whose cooperation is necessary for this to succeed. That would be the Licensing Division of DHS, the Department of Health's Healthcare Administration, which monitors Medicaid for the federal government, and MINUTES, the IT division, which is necessary to implement electronic changes. Secondly, it appropriates a concrete money investment based on the amount recommended in the DHS report. This money would fund an outside consultant with experience successfully guiding similar processes in other states and on systems improvement, and it would provide sufficient DHS staff time to do its part of the work properly. If passed, this bill can rationalize and make consistent publicly funded chemical health treatment in Minnesota, free scarce LADC and other treatment staff time throughout Minnesota from paperwork to spend more time working directly with clients, focus and simplify the necessary training, consultation, monitoring, and reinforcement of that's done by the Department of Human Services. It's well documented that paperwork, especially more than 25% of the time away from clients, causes burnout and loss of people early to the field. And actually, Minnesota right now requires more than 25% of the time from direct service people to be diverted from direct service. Other states have also achieved increased client retention, reduced client burden, save the department staff time. On behalf of March, I welcome any questions from the committee, and also we look forward to the opportunity in the future to comment on the amendments.
Thank you, Dr. Eggly, for your testimony. Are there any questions that people have for the bill author or for testifiers? Representative Baker, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I just wanted to also lend my support to this bill. This is a bill that I've carried in the past. I really appreciate Representative Frederick for bringing this forward. I've worked with Dr. Eggly and others on this bill, sort of like I brought, prior to the duplicate licensing bill that I had a week or two ago. This is a serious attempt to try to really take a hard look at where we're wasting time, where we're wasting efforts and energies when we could be spending time with patients and folks in need. So the Paper Reduction Act and this bill concept is super important. And again, bringing in an outsider like Dr. Eggly has suggested and we have proven record that these guys do a nice job with this. This is a really good step. So I just want to say I really support this bill. Appreciate you bringing it forward, Representative, and thank you for your great testimony today too, Dr. Eggly. Good to see you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Baker, for your input and for your thoughts and support on this issue. Are there any other comments or questions that people may have? Not seeing any hands go up at this point in time, I would like to turn it over to Representative Frederick for any final comments.
I just want to say again, thank you to Representative Baker for those comments too. It's a pretty simple concept that if the more face time we can get providers to be able to provide services, the better off we're going to be. So I appreciate all the member support for this.
Okay. There being no further discussion, Representative Frederick renews his motion that House File 2116, as amended, be recommended for referral to the Human Services Finance and Policy Committee. Mr. Kroos, please take the roll.
Fisher.
Fisher, aye.
Fisher, aye. Frederick.
Aye.
Frederick, aye. Frankie.
Frankie, aye.
Frankie, aye. Baker.
Baker, aye.
Baker, aye. Becker Finn.
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Hansen.
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Katiza Watoon.
Aye.
Katiza Watoon, aye. Lippert.
Lippert, aye.
Lippert, aye. Mueller.
Aye.
Mueller, aye. Pearson.
Pearson, aye.
Pearson, aye. Thompson. Thompson. All right.
Thompson, aye.
Thompson, aye. Mr. Chair, there are 11 ayes and zero nays.
There being 11 ayes and zero nays, the motion prevails. House File 2116, as amended, is recommended for referral to the Human Services Finance Policy Committee. Thank you, Representative Frederick. Members, for our last bill of the day, we're going to return to a bill we laid over last week. It's House File 1299 from Representative Frederick. As a reminder, we previously adopted the A1 Authors Amendment, so we are considering the bill as amended today. Representative Frederick, would you care to move your bill again and give us an update as to where discussions are on this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move that House File 1299 get re-referred to the Human Services Finance and Policy Committee. Since last week, I was able to organize a meeting with relevant stakeholders, and progress was made. We don't have an amendment to update to reflect that progress at this time. There is work that continues to need to be done on it, but there is motion moving. I guess that would be the best way to put forward on it. Representative Frankie had some good feedback at the meeting, and I think that's one of the ideas of that we're going to be moving on it. But working with both the counties and the providers, there's still some fine details that need to get ironed out.
All right. Yes, I understand that there's been a lot of work. I know that I saw some drafts and proposals starting to float around last night, and I appreciate the work that you and also Representative Frankie. I know that Representative Frankie has been in contact, and he's also been talking to me about what's been happening. Also, I appreciate the work that both of you have been putting in to address the issue here. I noticed that we do have a testifier out there. Why don't we go ahead and take our testifier, Ms. Tammy Lewick, if we could take her testimony, and then we can go to discussion and questions. Ms. Lewick, if you'd like to introduce yourself and start your testimony, please, and who you're with.
Good morning, Chair Fisher and members of the committee. My name is Tammy Lewick, and I'm the Adult Services Manager at Kerwin County Community Services. I'm here today representing the Minnesota Association of County Social Service Administrators, MACSA. Thank you for the opportunity to share some thoughts on House File 1299. Again, we just want to say we're thankful and for the conversations we've been having with providers around this concern. We also appreciate the work of Representative Frederick, Representative Frankie, Representative Thompson, and Representative Baker, and legislators in the Senate who have engaged with us over the last several days as we try to find an amenable path forward that improves our substance use disorder service delivery. We want to stress that we will continue to work with providers to find a solution, yet we'd also like to share three quick perspectives from the county as part of this conversation. First, counties are committed to working to build a stronger SUD infrastructure that serves all communities appropriately. We are committed partners that stand ready to find ways to increase access to better serve individuals in need. Second, counties feel strongly that we have a programmatic, financial, and human obligation to consider in our role as the mental health authority as outlined in the statute. That is why we feel it is appropriate and necessary to have upfront conversations with providers coming into communities as they hope to support providers that are going to be able to increase access to all of our populations. Knowing what the community response and provider relationships are upfront can help shape the exact services that a provider may offer to be better tailored to community need. That benefits providers and our communities. Finally, we recognize the concerns providers have shared with us that there may be 87 approaches to the letter of need process. While counties aren't aware that this is a widespread issue, we acknowledge that providers have brought this forward. We are committed to finding a more uniform, streamlined process that will allow for counties to have conversations that reflect the unique needs of our communities. As I said, we will continue to work to find a path forward on this narrow issue with SUD delivery system and look forward to the broader conversations on ways to better quality access statewide. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Lewick. We will open up for questions, comments. I see Representative Frankie's hand is up right away there. So Representative Frankie, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. thank you, Representative Frederick, for your work around this and your willingness to have the discussions and set up these meetings. At this point, I would say that we do have some language that is amenable and some we still need to do some work on. I want to thank Representative Fredericks for agreeing to move this forward and continue to do that work between the providers and the counties. I'm still going to keep my eye on this a little bit. We want to make sure the counties are involved. As I've said, in this area, a lot of times they end up being the workhorse for us. In so we just don't want to hamstring them. I think we all acknowledge that we need a faster process and as has been stated, a more uniform policy because there could be 87 different approaches to this. I mean, we've heard, you know, in certain counties, the administrations within those counties have some flexibility that the boards have directed towards them and allowed them to have without having to be micromanaged and going back to the board for approvals all the time and things like that. And we want the providers to not have to go through an arduous process to provide service. So I'm comfortable with moving this forward. And I appreciate the discussion and will be keeping my eye on it. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you again, Representative Frederick, for your willingness to work on this.
Thank you, Representative Franke. I'm not seeing any other hands at the moment. Once again, I will say to Representative Frederick, Representative Franke, and Baker and Thompson, who I understand you also have been involved, is I want to say thank you for the work. I know there's still more work to be done. It's very important that we have uniformity, making sure that we're having the input from the counties, and at the same time, making sure that we have changes. What we have right now just is not working and needs to be modified. So I'm glad that we're moving this forward. I'm glad that the work will continue because I know that there will be something in the final bill to change from where we are now to where we're going down the road. I'm not seeing any other hands go up. Representative Frederick, do you have any final comments?
I just want to reaffirm that I'm committed to getting everyone's input on this. I really enjoyed being able to work with Representative Franke and the counties and the providers. And I think there is a path forward on this that we'll be able to improve things. And I think it's just a small little changes that we need to go from here. I think the core concepts are good. And I think we're really close to finding the final language that's needed.
Thank you, Representative Frederick. There being no further discussion, Vice Chair Frederick renews his motion that House File 1299, as amended, be recommended for referral to the Human Services Finance and Policy Committee. Mr. Kroos, please take the roll.
Fisher.
Fisher, aye.
Fisher, aye. Frederick.
Aye.
Frederick, aye. Franke.
Franke, aye.
Franke, aye. Baker.
Baker, aye.
Baker, aye. Becker Finn.
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Hansen.
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Katiza Watoon.
Aye.
Katiza Watoon, aye. Lippert.
Lippert, aye.
Lippert, aye. Moeller.
Aye.
Moeller, aye. Pearson. Pearson.
Pearson, aye.
Pearson, aye. Thompson.
Thompson, aye.
Thompson, aye. Mr. Chair, there are 11 ayes and 0 nays.
There being 11 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails. House File 1299, as amended, is recommended for referral to the Human Services Finance Policy Committee. Thank you for your work on this bill, Vice Chair Frederick. Okay, that wraps up the bills that we've had before our committee today. Like to make some announcements here as we're wrapping up. This is most likely our last hearing of the session. If we need to meet again for any reason, we will send out notice. I'd also like to thank everyone for the work on the division and for creating a spirit of collaboration, bipartisanship in this area. It's one of the things that I appreciate when first working with Representative Franke on this is that we wanted to be very conscious about making sure that we're focusing on doing the great work for people. And we've done a lot of hard work. Doesn't mean that we've not had tough discussions. We've had some very good discussions in here. And I appreciate the way that everybody has approached the issues that has come before us. One thing to note is while we've had tough discussions, every bill that we passed from our committee out of here passed unanimously. And that reflect, and that doesn't mean that there isn't more work to be done. We all acknowledge that in a number of these areas that more work will continue to be done going forward. And I want to thank everyone for coming together and asking the tough questions as we step forward. I'd like to thank Representative Frederick for stepping up as vice chair as a first term member. And also very much, I want to say a big thank you to Representative Frankie for his engagement and his input as ranking member. And I'd like to open up to Representative Frankie for any closing comments you would like to make.
Thank you, Chair Fisher. I guess I was unaware that this was going to be our last meeting, or I would have sent out treats.
No, that's kind of where we are. We think this is our last meeting, but as I mentioned, there's still a possibility, depending on what happens, we might still be called back in for informational hearings. But as our official one, this will be our final official one. So any final words you'd like to share with us as the official?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank all the members. This has been a great committee. I want to thank the staff. Things have flowed really nice in this committee, and I want to thank you for your commitment to this area and to me to keeping this committee focused on what we need to accomplish. And that's been great. If we focus on what we need to get done, we can accomplish good things. And I think going forward, maybe take a little bit of the experience of this committee and use it in others. And that would be my advice to the members on how, if we just take the time to do the work and hear each other out, we can get things done. And I really appreciate that. I appreciate the time that you've given to me and my members. And once again, it's just been an honor, and hopefully we can continue this kind of good work together for times to come. So thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, everybody.
You're welcome, Representative Frankie, and it has been an honor working with everybody, and I look forward to continuing the good work as we go forward. We've done a lot of work this past year. We've heard everything from hospital moratoriums to a number of reform bills to streamline the processes so that we can focus on the clients who are out there, making sure that we are not always worrying about whether an I's dotted or a T crossed, but focusing on being able to deliver services quickly to people who are in crisis and people who need it so that they can get the healing that they need to be successful in life. And that's of a huge focus. And I think that is what has guided everyone in our committee. We still have more work that's going to be happening out there. Some of the bills that we passed forward, we do know that there have been concerns on the original governor's bill that he had out, that originally was put out at a time when we had deficits, that caused concerns in the community that March has expressed. I know that a lot of work is being done on that to make sure that providers are going to be remain whole in that process. We're going to continue that work. We're continuing the work on streamlining the behavioral health issues, and also continuing to work behind the scenes on the hospital bed moratorium, and also what might be able to address the funding, because while the moratorium needs to be addressed to make it easier for providers to come into the space, we also know and understand that part of the problem is funding, is that more funding is needed to help create parity in the system and to make sure that providers will be able to provide these services that are needed by people when they're in crisis and being able to do so that they aren't losing money in the process. So we're going to continue working on those issues as we go forward, and we're hoping to have more of that figured out when we are in the finance committees. Some things is I would ask members to stay engaged on behavioral health issues as we move forward. As you've heard, we still have some areas that we're working on, the hospital bed requirements, the issues around the federal 1115 demonstration project. We're happy to continue to include committee members in that process. I'll look forward to continuing to put Representative Frankie, Representative Bakers, and others as we continue working on those issues. Most importantly, I want to be able to thank our staff. I think a big reason that we're able to get things done so well is because we've got great staff out there. We've got Ms. Sarah Sutterman, Ms. Elizabeth Clairquist from House Research, who help us figure out the details to make sure that the language we've got in the bills is reflecting what really needs to be done. I'd like to thank Mr. Harry Kennedy, GOP Research, who does the research to help keep the folks on the Republican side informed. I'd like to thank Mr. David Sullivan, our DFL House Research, who helps does the information for us on our side of the aisle. Most importantly, I want to also thank my legislative assistant, Spencer Crows, and finally, my right-hand staff person here who has helped me get through these things without making any major errors, and that would be Mr. Chris McCall. And at this point, there being no further business before the division, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.